Here we are. Anyway, hi Doreen, how are you? Good to see you.
Good, good.
I think you've got the best smile out of all the smileys there. So as you can see, we're filming this, we're recording it. And so I just thought today, what I wanted to do is address values, walking our why. And as you can see from the backdrop, I'll share the screen. So as you can see, let's see, I have to move things around. Okay, so welcome to Laughter Chapel. This is our April session. And thank you for showing up, everyone. I don't know about you, but I need some laughter. So this is always nice to come together and just be. You're such a great team. So this is about values today. And right there are some of my values. Laughter is my language. Love's my attitude. At least that's the goal. And kindness is my game. And I'm sure many of you feel along that line as well, or practice along those lines, or have very similar, along with other values in your life. Most of us here are volunteers, or we care about the world. And, you know, so I would say we're sort of very aligned in many of our values in many ways. So I'm going to have Chris read this, because I was doing a sort of a study on values this week. And I have a very good book, and this is from Susan David, and it's called Emotional Agility. And I listened to one of her podcasts, and some of this came up. So I looked it up, and I was quite amazed, actually, what I learned. And I thought to share it today. Okay, Chris, if you don't mind.
Walking your why. Walk Your Why is the art of living by your own personal set of values, the beliefs and behaviors that you hold dear and that give you meaning and satisfaction. Identifying and acting on the values that are truly your own, not those imposed on you by others, not what you think you should care about, what you do genuinely care about. Identifying what you value and acting on it is not always easy. We're constantly bombarded with messages from culture, advertisers, our upbringing, our religious training, our families, peers, friends, about what is important and what makes us worthy. Other people's actions and choices affect us more than we realize on every level through a fascinating phenomenon called social contagion. If the term brings to mind a virus spreading through a population via seemingly random casual contact, that's exactly the idea. Studies show that certain behaviors really are like colds and flus. You can catch them from other people. Your risk of becoming obese increases with each obese person you come into contact with. Your chances of getting divorced, a decision you think would be deeply personal and individual, are higher if other couples in your peer group are also splitting up. And then things get really weird. Unlike infectious diseases, which tend to be transmitted from person to person, you can catch some behaviors from people you've never even come in contact with. One study found that couples are more likely to divorce not just when their friends do, but when friends of their friends do. That's right. Your personal life will be affected by people you don't even know. A Stanford, Stanford University marketing professor tracked more than 250,000 airline passengers and proved that you're a whopping 30% more likely to make an in-flight purchase if your seatmate does. When you're trapped in a plane with nowhere to go, that 30% up can add up to a lot of bad films and snacks you could just as easily done without. These kinds of choices are based on mindless decision-making, an approach in which there is no space between impulse and action, thinker and thought, and where the herd instinct comes into play. Sometimes this behavior is okay. One more airplane movie isn't going to kill you. Sometimes it's even beneficial. If all your friends exercise regularly, you might be more likely to get off the couch. But make too many mindless autopilot decisions over the long haul, and eventually you'll find yourself living what feels like somebody else's life, a life aligned with values you don't necessarily ascribe to. Make decisions that match up with the way you hope to live going forward. You have to be in touch with the things that matter to you, so you can use them as signposts. If you've never taken the time to sort out your values, you're always winging it, which is how we find our wind up frittering away our time, surfing the internet, forwarding pointless email chain letters, cycling through hours of reality TV, and feeling unfulfilled. You see this clear lack of intention played out in people's choices, or lack thereof, in everything from romantic partners to vacations. By knowing who you are and what you stand for, you come to life's choices with the most powerful tool of all, your full self.
Thank you. That's good. So imagine how much social media affects us. But what I found really interesting was it's not your friends alone that influence you. It's friends of friends, people you've never even met. And I mean, Lee Jean, you'll probably bear this out. I noticed Malaysia when I first came to Malaysia and Thailand, actually, you hardly saw anyone who was obese. It was not a common thing. Now it's common. And I know that's lifestyle. And I know that's, you know, we're more sedentary, the food we eat, people have more income, so they buy more food and treats. So I understand that's a real factor. But I also believe because it's become more normal or normalized, then people follow. And how we have to really question ourselves, how much am I, you know, being influenced and don't even realize it? And I'm working on autopilot that I didn't even program in. So this is the antidote. She talked about it, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, Susan David. And so if you reflect, explore, write down your values, these exercises will have a significant impact on you. Think about, what do I value? What are my values? What is important to me? What do I hold dear? This can be an important exercise that may protect you down the line. For example, if you grew up in a family that did not value higher education, no one had gone to college before, and yet you fought hard, you managed to get in, were determined to graduate. But guess what might happen when you fail your first exam, which you most likely would, because we all fail exams, right? You'd be highly likely to drop out. But if you'd had done that simple exercise of exploring and reflecting upon your values for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, before you started college, you'd be much more likely to persevere and keep studying. The empowering effect of having thought through your values could stay with you for 2 to 3 years. So I thought 10 minutes is really worth investing before launching into anything. And this really spoke to me about, now that we are thinking about and changing our lives and moving into Belize and working in hospice. So I've started this week to write down my values around that, to build in safeguards for when it gets tough or it's difficult. Anyway, today I thought to ask you, why do you love to laugh? Why is it important to you? What are the values that your practice contain for you? So I thought we could build our exercises around those values. Just freestyle. I know for myself, and I'll start. And this is very ad lib. I know for me, laughter, when combined with compassion, is an incredible tool that I value, because it opens me up to be able to hold space for all emotions. So it broadens my emotional palette and my willingness to hold space for people who are having difficult emotions or problems. So I really value that it broadens my compassion and connects me to other people and makes me more available. That's also why I've added love to it. It seems that the laughter creates more compassion, and the compassion creates more willingness for a variety of emotions. So that's one of my values around laughter. And as time's gone on, I've seen I can use it in incredible situations, actually. And even when I don't feel like doing it, I know the moment I do and I show up, I will have it, just not only the endorphins kicking in, but the love, the compassion, the willingness. Eva and I were talking about this the other day, the willingness to be open, empty hand, open heart, just to show up and go, okay, I'll work with whatever's available. And I believe laughter's given me that, just the practice and the philosophy of laughter yoga and all that we've been trained in and the many wonderful people we've met. So I'll start with an exercise that I particularly like. It's the So What I Made a Mistake exercise. And you've seen me do this a lot. It's one of my favorites because so what, I made a mistake, you know, just so what. Today I was thinking about, I was getting really the last few days in the back of my mind, starting to worry and get anxious about the future again and visas and just details. And today I just went, okay, so what? And it really lifted it. So let's start with, I made a mistake. If we could all, if everyone could put your speakers on, please. Your volume. So I made a mistake. So what?
So what? So what? I make a mistake. So what?
Oh, what? Mistake. Mistake. So what?
So what? So what?
So what?
So what?
I made a mistake.
Mistake. So what?
Mistake.
This is just a mistake.
We all made a mistake. We all made a mistake. So what?
So what?
Made a mistake.
So I forgive me. I forgive you. I forgive us. I forgive me. I forgive you.
You.
I forgive us.
Yes. So.
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ha, ha,
ha. Oh, ho, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, ho, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, ho, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, oh, oh. I want to be more compassionate, and that's what I want to keep in my practice, my daily life and my laughter practice. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, me.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, today in the morning I had a slight accident on the beach, and I hurt my eye, so everybody was, whoa, what happened? Everybody was very concerned. My grandchildren, oh, Vita, they called me. So I went to the doctor and they put a patch on my eye. And I started to think, this is going to make me enforce the way I have to take things, you know, easily, be lighter about things that happen, because things happen. They happen every day. Sometimes they are harder and easier, but I choose to say, okay, that's what happened. Let's laugh it off, you know? Let's laugh it off and let's take the best. And I said, okay, now you have a pirate in the house. So I get to be grumpy and I get to give orders. So everybody has to laugh. I started to laugh. I started to do the laugh. And I, at the same time, I started to laugh it off on my arms. And I said, okay, laugh it off, laugh it off. And they were really happy because they said, okay, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, it hurts, but what else can I do? That's what it is. So very good, very,
very good. Very good.
Yay!
Thank you, Marina. Hey, I saw you had one.
Yep. Mine is around community, because to me, it's the community that we generate, both like particularly in our with our laughter, but in other settings as well. I really value the sense of community and belonging and sharing things with other people. That's really important to me. So I can't remember the exact words, but it's we are one with you.
I am one with you. You are one with me.
We are one.
You see. Ah, very good. Okay. I am
one with you. We are one.
I love that. Very good. Very good.
Yay.
I love that. Because it's so true. We show up from all around the world. How nice, you know? And through COVID, and we've had to do it like this. And actually, our club is almost a year old. Next May, May the 1st, this coming May the 1st, we're going to be 1 year old. So it was born out of good intention to meet face to face, and we met once or twice, I think, and then it's just been Zoom the whole time but it's actually served us really well. It's been wonderful. Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
What was the question again?
What do you value about laughter, and what laughter are you value?
For me, it's therapeutic with my patients. I have a 50-year-old young man with cystic fibrosis, and he turned a little yellow and went down to UC San Diego. He's had a lung transplant. He's on a lot of, you know, suppressive medications. And they, oh, your pancreas is a little big, probably not a problem. And they took him to surgery today, and they said, well, you have metastatic pancreatic carcinoma to your liver. We think. The pathologist hasn't looked at the slides yet, we think. So I told him a joke about five doctors who went duck hunting, and one was a general practitioner. You'll appreciate this being from Australia. And the general practitioner said, well, I think it's a duck, but I need to get a second opinion. So he didn't shoot the duck. The next was a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist raised his gun and said, I know that's a duck, but it's the duck. No, he's a duck. So he didn't shoot. The duck got away. Raised his I've got him in my sights, but what if he has babies? And so the surgeon took his gun and raised it up and shot the duck. And he said, okay, to the pathologist. He said, okay, you go and see if that's a duck. So making fun of pathologists and trying to figure things out, just using laughter to try and ease the therapeutic situation. So did that help him?
Yes,
it did help him. And the nurse was in the room while the junior, whatever, resident physician, while I was telling him this. And she had the opportunity to see that, you know, even though she had to come in and say, oh, the pathologist couldn't quite figure it out from the frozen section. And, you know, it's probably a little early to call this stage 4 cancer. But this is how you have to communicate with your patient.
Yeah, wonderful.
Laughter will let fear out of your body. If you open up your mouth and laugh, fear comes out.
Yeah, absolutely.
They may still have stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but
yeah, and it doesn't change that reality, but it does. Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, as we've discussed a lot in our different programs, and Shed K does this too, Chris too, with ACEs, that when we're fearful or we're under that stress, that immense pressure, our thinking goes offline. We can't think. We're going to react. We don't respond because we don't have the ability to. We just go right into, you know, dinosaur brain. And But if we can laugh, it gives us that space that might help get us back online again so that we can adjust attitudes and think things through a bit more rationally. Very good. Very good. Yay!
Okay, I better go. Because the more you wait, the more nervous you'll be.
You get worse, right? It's true.
I value laughter very, very much, and I strongly believe it has so many, many benefits. One of them is when I had my cataract. I went for my cataract. Definitely, I will have some nervousness, and I think it will be painful. But then, when I was lying on the operation bed, and I do this. I laugh inside me, and I do this, and I calm myself, and I do very good, very good. Yeah, there was no pain, no nervousness. Yeah, let's do. Okay. Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, it was no pain, no nervousness. Truly, yeah, it helps a lot. And we can't make noise, so I laugh inside, and I do quietly. Wow. With me, you know. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I really like that.
This is from Tama. I learned from Tama, yeah.
So I've never seen that before. That's fantastic.
Yay! Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Lee Jean.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even letting you volunteer. We're beyond
that. not many of us left to talk. Thank you. Thank you, Dusty, for this platform. Yeah, I want to relate an incident about my mom. 10 days ago, she was scalded by boiling water, a flask of water, vacuum flask. She was actually filling it up, and without realizing it toppled. So it went on to her thigh, and she was wearing long pants. So I was in the Zoom attending a course, and she was screaming there. So I have to on hold for the Zoom event and went to her. She managed to get off her trousers, but the scald was pretty bad. So and I just burst out laughing. And my mom used to laugh with me. So she was in pain, and yet she managed to giggle a bit in pain, but she was still laugh. So I laugh with compassion. I just don't laugh out of fun, you know. And she knows that. She knows that. So then later the laughter becomes softer, and we were just attending to the wound. And yesterday the wound was healing very well because every day dressing for her, and while dressing we also have some laughter. And every morning, because I sleep with my mom. So every morning when we got up, she will hum a tune of her favorite song, and we will put in the ho ho ha ha.
Oh,
nice.
What a great idea.
We go ho ho ha ha ha, ho ho ha ha ha. Then with the favorite Chinese song, but with the words ho ha ha. So pretty good. Yesterday, the wound had, I think, about 80% recovered, but the first few days was not so nice because you can see the weeping wound, wet and all that, and it was quite scary. Of course, we went and saw a doctor, but dressing, we did it at home.
Yes.
So laughter is a language, like what Darcy wrote here, because rather than using any other words, we just use the laughter as words. And of course, the love between us is definitely there. And kindness is practiced everywhere. Yeah. So thank you. This is my sharing for this morning.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. Yeah.
You know, like Dr. Kataria says, if you laugh, your pain becomes champagne.
If you laugh, your pain becomes
champagne.
Yeah.
Yes,
become
champagne.
Champagne.
That's good. Okay. Oh, you see, the pain becomes champagne.
That's good. Very good. Eva.
I think for me, for laughter and the value, I would say freedom. Just it really
gets
me to experience that love, which ordinarily I think we walk through life very closed, but laughing and have everybody else laughing with you, it just opens our hearts to experience different. That's it for me.
Good. No, that's really good, because let's do the empty hand. Eva and I were talking about this the other day, open heart. So empty hands. Every situation, every person we meet, I use this with people who are dying at the end of life. So every time before I go into the room, and I've decided to use this as my daily mantra. Empty hands. Before I go into it, take out my bias, my desires, my wants, my knowledge, my training, the things I think should be, and just put them to the side for a moment. And whatever's put into my hand, that's what I'm going to respond to, not react. This is when you do it right. So when your heart's full of love, full of compassion, empty hands, open heart, you're open to new things, new experiences, then you will probably respond, not react. And so let's look at empty hands. Show each other our empty hands. And open heart. And just smile. Very good. Very good. And another thing I really like about laughter is mental floss, just being able to have an attitude or a disruptor, because it's so easy to run on emotion, but sometimes we just need that disruption to stop, think, catch the right attitude. So let's do some mental floss. Oh, there's some really gunky stuff there. Oh, takes a lot of work to get in there. Now let's do it for each other. Oh, my goodness. Let's do it for the world at the moment. Oh, yay. Oh, my goodness. Bring it back here. So much. And each time we do it, it makes us giggle. It's so ticklish. Very good.
Very good.
Yeah. Now, Lee Jean, I have studied quite a bit on the vagal nerve, as you know, and really look into how to activate the parasympathetic system and laughter is a part of that. And talking about obesity, when it's interesting, when I was researching vagal nerve and parasympathetic and just activation, you did it recently, I'm going to have you do this in the middle, is gargling or chewing gum. That action is comforting, and it probably comes from breastfeeding the baby. That's probably where it's hardwired into us. So that action and smoking, that's why we smoke. This is the whole oral fixation, right? So that whole thing. So I was thinking about why that action, gargling, chewing, laughing. So when we relax our jaw, and it opens up all of that, and that actually activates the parasympathetic system. And I thought, why do people comfort eat? Not only because they get a rush from the sugar or the food or comfort from the carbs and a weight in your stomach, which weighs you down and, you know, does relax you, helps you feel not so nervous. But I think the chewing has a big, and it's not been studied as far as I know, but I think that chewing action brings comfort to people. So if we can realize that instead of popping food in our mouth when we don't really need it, but maybe laughing or gargling or doing something else to activate our system. So Li Jing, will you show us the gargle laughter, please?
My pleasure. Imagine if you have no water, it's okay. Just imagine. So we just pour some. If you have salt water, it would be very nice. One more time.
Yay!
Thank you, Dusty.
Thank you. Another thing that singing also activates, but humming really activates the vagal nerve. So let's hum to I am one with you. You are one with me. We are one, you see. Into hospital rooms, and if I've laughed with people when they were healthier or they were first came to hospital and they were able to laugh with me, and we built that into our relationship like you talk about with your mother, Li Jing, when they can't, and I may have laughed with their families and with the hospital staff and the patient, and when they're approaching end of life and they're getting closer transitioning, they may not be able to laugh, and I don't make them laugh, but I might hold their hand and tap their hand and hum, I am one with you. You are one with me. We are one, you see, and I hum it, then I hum it. So I might say it and hum it, and I might hum, ho ho ha ha ha, because it's the same rhythm as I am one with you, you are. So I built that in, and it's actually quite comforting to them. And it helps me to be present in a way that can be comforting to them. And it just keeps me there in a space that I can hold space without having to think or plan or do or be, I can empty everything and just be there. And it's very calming. And so laughter can be used in all situations, I find, if we really do this and are willing to adapt it to what the need is. And that can be, sometimes it's crying with people. Crying can be as valuable as laughing. And that brings me back to just that whole, you know, our values. What are our values? Why are we there doing what we do? And of course, many of us came to laughter because it's so good for us. But it never stays just with you with laughter. It's community, as Kay was saying. It's always about, or your patients or the people you love and care for. It's amazing how that spreads. So I have something to end with today, and it's a loving kindness meditation. And after we're done, I have all this on slides, everything that's been shared, and I'll post them so you can refer to it if you like. But if you feel comfortable, I invite everyone to just sit for a minute, breathe in, and laugh it out gently. Before we start this meditation, I'd like you to imagine you have a candle in your right hand. And this time we're going to have bubbles. We're going to blow bubbles with our left hand. So we're going to breathe in this beautiful, loving laughter scent and all the values that we hold dear. And then we're going to blow them out with laughter gently to the rest of the world. Breathe it in deeply. And now blow it out silently. One more time. Big giant bubbles going out to the world. And I invite you now, if you're comfortable, to put your hands in your lap and gently close your eyes and just follow along in your heart with me. Let your attention settle into your body and start by taking a few deep breaths. Now, allow your breath to be natural. Firstly, we're going to send a loving kindness meditation to ourselves. You can repeat this meditation silently in your mind as you breathe in and out. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I know peace and ease. May I be happy. Keep breathing and repeat any of that you need for yourself, and you don't need to force any special feelings. Now we're going to extend this loving kindness by thinking of someone who has helped or loved us, you personally. This is someone who makes you feel loved and safe. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease. May you be happy. Now, have that person offer loving kindness back to you. Open your heart to receive their phrases of loving kindness to you. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease. May you be happy. Now imagine a friend or someone you know who's having difficulty. Bring them here and offered the phrases of loving kindness to them. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease, and may you be happy. Now, let's have a party. Imagine a gathering of friends, family, co-workers, anyone that comes to mind. Offer loving kindness to this collective. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease, and may you be happy. Now, let's add all beings everywhere, all people, all creatures, all those in existence, near and far, known and unknown, those who came before us and who will go on after us. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be well. May all beings know peace and ease. May all beings be happy. Now imagine all of those sentient beings sending back the same love, kindness, and wellness and ease to you. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease. May you be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease. May you be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you know peace and ease. May you be happy. Keep your eyes closed and wrap your arms around yourself. Reassure yourself that you are loved and have a place filled with a great reserve of loving kindness. You can return to this place and you can draw from it whenever you need. Breathe in deeply for 3 breaths and then slowly open your eyes. As you open your eyes, smile gently. Okay. What you do is important. And why? While you may feel that you are hidden away at times, I want you to know that you are seen, loved, and valued. Every time you smile, laugh, offer a kind gesture, you are connecting to humanity in loving kindness. You bring comfort, ease, healing, hope, but above all, you are fulfilling a social and soul contract. A promise of relationship. Reach out to others. Let them hear your voice of love, laughter, and kindness. Let them see your deeds of caring as you live your values in a way that will benefit all. Very good.
Good.
Very good. Yay. So I thought, while we're being influenced and being made fatter, sadder, more anxious, or divorcing, or doing whatever we're doing, just because we live in a world that has those things, we are a force for good. We are the opposite and can be the opposite of that. We can be influences to people we don't even know. Us sitting here as a group today in our little rooms, who knows what this is building, what it's sending out. Very good. Very good. Yay. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, everyone.
Welcome. It's good to return.